Okay, today's daf is daf Chav Dalet. We're holding it a Halakha Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amud Beis. The end of the last parak, the Mishnah that we've been analyzing, we went through it piece by piece. How is the regal a muad darachivucha? How is a shein lechol? So, Royla, one of the cases that we had over there was a shor hamuad. That was one of the cases of muad. Now, despite the fact that we listed a lot of things for which a shor would be a tam and not a muad, first of all, we never defined what it means to be a muad on those things. And also, we never spoke about whether it's possible to reestablish a state of tamud. In other words, clearly, it says in that mishnah, it starts off in a particular way, and that's the tam. But how about if it was already a muad? Can it become a tam again? And that's something we haven't discussed. So apparently, tamud and muad is a question that's behavioral. So how exactly do we determine these behavioral changes? So the muad first suggests the Rabbi Yehuda. The muad is koshi ido bo shlosha yamim. You need to have three different events in 3 days. And then let's assume that it's irrelevant of what you found out about these things. But later on, we're going to question that. It could be that the edut has to be on different. Let's assume right now it means the behavioral change in the shor would have to be over the course of 3 days, so that it did the same thing once a day at least over the course of 3 days. Things that previously were considered to be tam, say it hoard, it had never gored before, and now it becomes a muad. But it can go back to being a tam. Tam mishiach zon b'shlosha yamin. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you go back now over the same stimulus and there's no response, then you can go back to your state of tam. Rabbi Meir says you don't need to have 3 separate days. According to Rabbi Meir, the shor can become a muad even if eidu bo shalosha pa'amim. It's the number of times, it's not the number of days that are important. The tam, and it's even possible to become a tam also within a short space, even though normally I would say, well, just because on a particular day maybe the shor wasn't feeling well, so therefore it didn't eat its Wheaties in the morning, so maybe it wasn't sufficiently empowered to go around goring, so that you should have to wait a period of time, even I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir perhaps. But nonetheless, as Rabbi Meir, it's possible that even a chazora not over 3 days, although I admit that the chazora in 1 day 3 times may not be enough, but you could have a super stimulus, which itself would be enough of a riot, even over a shorter period, that the tam is not going to, the shor is not going to be a muad anymore for this behavior. And that would be, if you have kids pulling at the ears of the shor and playing around with it and insulting it, nonetheless doesn't respond. So that would be a sufficient raya, even over the shorter term, that the shor has become more docile and it goes back to its state of tam. Okay, so let's now, what we have over here essentially is a machlokas when it comes to becoming a muad, whether you need to have it spread, the behavior spread out over time, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Meir, even if you find out that it did something 3 times in 1 day, that's also sufficient to make it a muad. Again, the assumption over here is that the entire issue is the behavioral changes in the shor, and that you just need to find out about those behavioral changes, but it's not that the edus of the muad to the balim needs to be done at separate stages. That's something that we're going to investigate. It's a different approach to the whole idea, but right now we'll take it kipshutei. My time in Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda get this idea? To which, indeed, Rabbi Meir is also moda, that there's certainly a concept of three when it comes to muad. So where does that come from? Omer Abaye, well, it says in the Pasuk, v'im shor nagachu mitimo shel sham, that if this shor was a shor that had gored from yesterday and the day before, so then v'hu ad b'ba'alav, and the ba'alim is testified against, v'lo yishmerenu, and at that point he doesn't do the proper shmirah, so then he will indeed become chayev, if he meet Ishavishash, so on and so forth, from there we learn out the halacha of muad. And Hidarshan says, Abaya, the pasuk is following. It could have said, im shor nagachu tumol shilshom. Instead it says, mitmol. So the tumol itself is one day. The mitmol is 2 days. So that's from the day before tumol. And shilshom is the day before that. That's tzulata. So then, if from that point on, lo yishmenu v'alaf, meaning of the fourth time, that's a time and a gichar to be eat, and at that point you'll be chayev, indeed, nezek shalem. So then, you will indeed shalem yishalem, you'll have to pay the entire value, and it's no longer a time. Rav Amar, Rav says that's not how he darshans. He darshans, mitmol is one word, that's just chad. Shilshom means 2 times. V'lo yishmerenu ha'idna, and then if at that point, at the third time that it's nogeach, he doesn't watch it, at that point he's chayev, you don't need 3, you only need 2, and then at the third time you're chayav. That's how Rashi learns it. Although we must say that in Baba Batra, it's clear that Rashi has changed his mind from his parish there, and seems to agree with all the other Rishonim that Rava is not claiming that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you become a muad in 2 times, and the third time And as Tosis points out, this is irrelevant to the machlokas, really, of the Rebbe and Rebbe. And where normally we say Rebbe holds two times is a raya, and then we have Reb Shimon Gamliel holds three times is a raya. But over here, this is not really dependent. They're not arguing about the psukim. I mean, that the question is whether this can become a model for the concept of chazok, two or three times. But certainly everyone has agreed that you need three times, and all that Rava is saying is a different way of looking at the pasuk. Tumol is one, shoshom is two, lo yishmarenu ayidna is three, then shalem. Because after that, you'll pay nezek shalem, and the lo yishmarenu is not a separate case that it's referring to. It's obvious that there was another case, otherwise what would he be paying for? Shalem. So the lo yishmarenu is itself part of the drasha how many times. So. And apparently Rashi in the end was Muda actually to that chat. Although he continues through our sugya, assuming that it is possible to be a Muad after two times and to be Chayav in the third time. We'll see where it's Nogia later on. Although there is a sheet of the Ramban who actually understands the Machlokas of Rabbi and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, indeed, to be referring to Shor Tam and Shor Muad as well. And that according to Rabbi, it only takes two times. Okay, so what's Rabbi Meir's logic? I mean, the Pasuk is pretty clear. For Rabbi Meir, my time, where does Rabbi Meir get the idea that we are going to be find it sufficient to have the Shor do this even on one day? Oh, the Tanya, Omer, Rabbi Meir, Richek Negichotav Chaya, Kirev Negichotav Lo Roshake. Rabbi Meir says, well, look, I mean, it's logical. I mean, if the animal, over a period of so many days, that itself is sufficient to indicate its behavior. So if it does this type of behavior one time after another, and it's really showing its true colors now, so then Koshikin, that should be an indication of its true colors. So if you see that it's able to be that upset that it's going to go ahead and be menageach three times on one day, certainly that's going to be a proof that there's been this deep down behavioral viciousness in this shore that may come out at any time. And so b'meila, you should definitely be chayav. Omrule, so they said to him, well, by that logic, you should say the same thing about a woman who is re'adam. So now she's a zava. The din over there is, a zava is a woman who sees now blood, not during the normal time of her menses, but between now the 7 days of Nidah, there's 11 days within which any additional re'iyah is not considered to be part of the menstrual cycle, but rather a violation of the normal cycle. So that now this dam is considered to be dam of zivah. And if she sees dam on three consecutive days, so then she becomes now a zava gedola, just to count the shivas nekiyim and to bring a korban and so on and so forth. But over there, we don't say, well, certainly if she bleeds three times on one day, she's going to be a zava. That's not true. It's only if the bleeding is spread out over 3 days. Now, according to you, Rabbi Meir, that doesn't make any sense. He says, well, koshikin, if it's one day, omar lehem, so let's just see that inside, omar leh, they said to Rabbi Meir, zava dochia, shirichikari yotea tmeah. So that if she bleeds over 3 days, she's tmeah, but if kirvari yotea, and she bleeds in one day, she is tahora. So you see that we don't establish a state more readily when it's within a shorter amount of time. Oh, my lady said, Rabbi Meir, now you're missing the point of the Zava, because look, Harei Omer, it says in the Torah, when it comes to a male, V'zot tietu mato bezovo, rar besarot zovo, v'yachtim besaro mi zovo. Note that the word zovo is mentioned three times when it comes to a male Zav, to indicate that tala hakatuvet hazav b'ri'iyot, what's important vis-a-vis a male, is the fact of the ri'iyot, not the amount of time of the tumor. And it says over there, V'zot tiyet, to say. Now, when it comes to Re'iyot, only the following halacha is the case. Because the Zdava benidata and Hazavet Zavo lazachar v'lanakeva, the Vizot tietumato dependency in Re'iyot is only true of a male and not of a female. So therefore, it's coming to teach me that Talata katuvet Hazav Re'iyot v'et Hazava b'yamim. So it's specifically coming to exclude the din of Zava, and that was Mikarevet Re'iyotea. So that if she sees Dam in three times on the same day, that's not going to be a reason to make her a zava. So it's a gzirat hakatuv. And Stosfus says, so what? Maybe doesn't it still show the idea? So Stosfus says, no, the whole point that it's making over here is that the Torah is coming to tell me that we are not trying to prove anything behavioral about the zava, that the whole thing was a ridiculous comparison. You were assuming that because of the fact that there needs to be three reyot, so that is a raya, basically, that this woman is in a state of non-menstrual bleeding, and that, therefore, she's tamea. That's the whole point, is that it's irrelevant. It's not that we now suspect that there will be further bleeding, and we need to establish whether she is, in fact, a bleeder. That's not the point. The point is that the Torah is saying, when it comes to a male, indeed, over there, we're questioning whether right now this guy's got some kind of prostate problem. So fine, if there's now this pathological discharge three times on one day. So enochinami. So then that makes him a zav. But that's what it's saying. But that's only the gabi a male. The gabi a female, we're not attempting to define exactly what's going on. All we're trying to say is that the Torah says if there's 3 days of tumah, then she becomes a zav gadol. What does that have to do with saying, and a kalvachomer if it's one day? The point is the day. The point is not the riyah at all. And therefore, it would be silly to try to make a kalvachomer about it, wouldn't it? So therefore, says Rabbi Meir, what you're saying makes absolutely no sense. If it were true by a zav, yes, then you could say the Torah is interested in the riyah. But if we're not interested in the riyah, so what room is there for a kalvachomer? Well, she's certainly more likely to be roeh. Yes, that's very true. And therefore, so who cares? Mashenkin over here, but the whole issue is the behavior of the shar. What do you mean, who cares? Isn't that the whole point? So if I can establish now a behavioral change over a longer period, where it's more likely that there would be ups and downs in the behavior of a shar over 3 days, then that we would perceive a pattern in which one follows the other immediately. So clearly, if you're coming to talk about pattern recognition, then the closer together the unusual behavior is, the more clear-cut of a pattern it is. It's simple as that. Obviously, if you're going to give me now a period of 3,000 years, you'll say somewhere within there, well, of course, but that's not a pattern. So what I want to do now is establish the better pattern. The better pattern would be if it's Kirat Nikichosa. Fine. So this is irrelevant. Zivas. Says the Gemara, but how do you see that from there? I mean, my dive is zot. All it's saying is, this is the way it is. Now, how do I know which direction this is the way it is? I mean, you're saying if this is the way it is, that a zava, female, will not be tmeya from riyas. That's what you're saying. And maybe it's l'mute zav niyami. Maybe it's the other way. Maybe it's to tell me that the zav will not be tame the yami. Only riyas. Maybe that's the point. No, that can't be the point, because it says, Azav et zovo la zachar v'la nekeva. I mean, it compares the zachar v'la nekeva. If the nekeva is tameya by three riyos over 3 days, then the zachar is also tameh with three riyos over 3 days. All it's saying over here is that the zachar doesn't need the days. And it's stable. Why can't you say it the other way around? Lakish nekeva la zachar. Why not say the opposite? Why not say, ma zachar v'riyot af nekeva v'riyot? Why not say that this comes to tell me that a female who is Raya 3 times in 1 day is also Tameh. I mean, you're arbitrarily determining which way to read the Pasuk. Well, but the Torah says, Vizot, it can only be one way. Yeah, but I'm asking you how you know which way, for God's sake, you're not responding. Umaraita, what is it that made you decide that you're going to use the Vizot to be Mambayat now, the Nekeva from Re'ios, and say it's Dafka dependent on Yomi? Maybe it's the other way around. So Umaraita. Well, it's just that it's reasonable, isn't it? I mean, Mustafa. What is the Pasuk discussing? Pasuk is discussing Re'iot, nothing to do with Yomim. There was no mention of Yomim. It just said Zov 3 times, which indicated that there was such a thing as 3 Re'iot of Ziva. So why in the world would you think that the word Zot is coming to say, but not over a period of time? Did anybody talk about a period of time? Did anybody mention a period of time? Maybe it means, but not when he's wearing a red sweater. I mean, we're not talking about that. So it makes much more sense to say this particular format that we're discussing, namely Re'iot, is relevant here and nowhere else. So that when it comes to Nekev, it's not wrong. We're going to pick out of a hat and say, this is Dafka, what's Sogea, the Zov. So Bistavra makes much more sense. If we're talking about a topic, the topic is Re'iyah, not days. And we're saying, and only this. So what's that saying? That the din of Re'iyos is only Nogea Amel? Because tell me, Koi Re'iyot, we're talking now about how many times he's going to be Roe Zivas, to tell me, but not over a period of days. I mean, where would that come from? B'mayit Yamin? Okay, so that's now, we're happy with that. Now let's take a look more deeply into the Psak Halacha, because the fact is that there are others who are involved in this Machlokas, which we Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, and we need to determine which way we go. La Halacha, so turn it up on it. Ezeu Mu'ad, Koshe Idubo Shlosha Yamin. So a Mu'ad is 3 days, and a Tam is Shiva Tinokot B'mash B'shin Bo Meinu Nogea. Boy, this is weird. This is a combination of the two Shitot of the Mishnah. Divi Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi is saying, when it comes to making the Shara Mu'ad, over there, I pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. And I'm saying you need 3 days. But when it comes now to being a Tam, over there, if the Tinokot are giving it this extreme stimulus and it doesn't respond by getting angry, so then that's Koveya, the Tam, which is what Rabbi Meir had said, not what Rabbi Yehuda had said. So the first part is like Rabbi Yehuda, second part is like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, yet another approach, which is the exact inverse. And he says, a mu'ad is koshi yidu ba'shalosh pe'amim. When it comes to mu'ad, the days are not important. It's the repetitive behavior that's important. V'lo amru shlosha yamim alo v'chazara b'ilvat. But when it comes to going back to a state of time, over there you would need to have the stimulus over a period of time to prove that it was no longer a mu'ad. So that in not doing something, as being passive, you have to be absolutely certain that there's a change. So that, indeed, why not attribute to the fact I was too tired to respond, wasn't feeling well to respond. There ain't no chiyami. So when it comes now to yamin, that's true, but only legabe chazara bilvat. Omer Nachman Omer Rava Ravada Barava Halachakir Rabbi Yehuda b'muad. So what that means is that essentially we've got now, when it comes to muad, we have two shitot against Rabbi Meir, because we have now Rabbi Yossi, who also said exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said, Ezel muad koshi yinu b'shlosh hayamim. So that's not like Rabbi Meir, that's shalosh pa'amim. So that's 2-1, and because of the Rabbi Yossi's modelo, and halachas like Rabbi Meir b'tam, that we have the tinokot mamash b'shimbo, because we have 2-1 there too, because Rabbi Yossi was moded to Rabbi Meir when it came to the dinim of tam. So you can have a chazara b'yom echad in cases of extreme stimulus. So that's all very nice if we ignore the fact that we also have Rabbi Shimon. I mean, if you want to limit things to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, and to Rabbi Yossi in the Braita, so then you're all very right in saying, look, we got 2-1 on this side, 2-1 on that side, and that's how we pass in halacha. But I mean, that's very convenient, but it happens to be that Rabbi Shimon also appears in the Braita. Rabbi Shimon evens the odds out precisely by reversing everything. So he paskins exactly the mirror image now of Rabbi Yossi. So why not say, says Rabbi Taranach and Olemamar, halacha Rabbi Meir b'muad, Share Rabbi Shimon modelo. You could say, look, Rabbi Shimon says 3 times is enough. You don't need 3 days. Okay, so it's paskin like that, because we've got 2-1, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yehuda. When you want to ignore somebody, why don't ignore Rabbi Yossi? Let's take Rabbi Shimon. And we could say, halacha Rabbi Yehuda b'tam, that the din over there is that it's not sufficient to have the tinokot, and you need to have the 3 days and so on. Share Rabbi Shimon modelo. There we've got 2-1 against Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Shimon is made it to him when it comes to the din of tam. Well, said Rabbi Nachman, I mean, we could say that, of course, except for the fact that I hold of Rabbi Yossi. So, you know, why not look at it my way? That's how I hold. Normally, I like Rabbi Yossi severely. Because, after all, Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo. Now, what's going on over here is going on beneath the surface, obviously. The klal halacha is that Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo, which means that we always paskin like Rabbi Yossi. I'm telling you, this clock comes in one day in 25 years or so, and already he's managed to mess things up faster than anybody else. If you could be, usually when we have a machlokas with Rabbi Yossi and an individual, not two individuals, but we have a machlokas with Rabbi Yossi and his chaver, so we have a general rule in Psak, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi because of nimuko imo, which means that he's always very clear about where he gets it from, it's extremely logical, we can always work it back out, and his svaras are easily confirmable. Good. In this case, we cannot say that we follow the normal Gidrei Psak, because we have over here two people against Rabbi Yossi. Anyway, because we have Rabbi Shimon, and we also have, of course, the alternative Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah, depending on which the case is, was also going Shelo Alib Rabbi Yossi in one case or the other. Therefore, what Rava wanted to clarify over here is, I mean, if you're simply adding up shitas, so how do you know to add up shitas this way? So he's saying, look, the din of Nibuko Imo, as far as being a straight-out way to paskin, you're right, does not apply here, because this is Rabbi Yossi Mechavei Rav. Nonetheless, it's still a way to confirm Rabbi Yossi, so that I'm telling you that because we could say, look, it's better to weigh in Rabbi Yossi's Sfara in a case where it is 2-1 and say that let's look at it that way of 2-1 than to look at it the other, even though Lamais, I'm not following the automatic Psak. In other words, we do have certain heuristic formula for Psak. So is this Rabbi Yossi? Yes. Nimuko imo. Is it Rabbi Yossi against 1? No. Ah, Rabbi Yossi against 2. So then we end up without being able to give you 42 as an answer. Okay, so now we leave it up to me, but I'm still saying I, Reb Nachman, will still paskin. In this case, we have 2 against 1 in a way that puts Rabbi Yossi ahead of Rabbi Yiboilo. So now we touch the underlying issue over here. The reason we do this is because, look at the language. Ezeu muad koshi hi'idu bo. Koshi hi'idu bo, is that the point? Hi'idu bo seems to be saying that the testimony takes place over a period of 3 days. But that's not focusing on the behavior of the shor. I mean, so that's the question. When we say shlosha yamim, you hold that it has to be over a period of 3 days. Why is that? Is that li'udei tura? Only Yehudei Gavra. I mean, are what we talk about over here that we need to establish the behavior of the shor, or is it that we need for the owner of the shor to be made aware on 3 separate occasions over a period of 3 days, and only then can we hold him responsible? And this has to do with the change in the behavior that we expect from the owner, not simply the change in the shor's behavior. I mean, the might of Kamina, the difference obviously will be if you've got 3 Kitot of witnesses, but they all show up on the same day. And they're testifying about 3 different events that took place over 3 days. So now, if it's only a function of the behavior of the shor, what's the difference when we find out? Whenever we find out, at that point, we now know that the shor is a mu'ad, and we're redefining the mu'ad. That's all. If the point over here is merely to establish the 3 days, that over a period of 3 days, this is the way the shor has been responding, but not if he did it over a shorter time, okay, fine, so then that's acceptable. But if you're going to tell me that the case would be that we need to have 3 days in order for the owner to be able to respond, so then if he finds out about it all at one time, so then lo mi'ayit. So then at this point, it's not yet a mu'ad. Despite the fact that it's clearly behaviorally changed, but we can't call it a mu'ad unless the owner has been warned three times consecutively. If you're telling me that I need to be mi'ayit the shor and change its behavior, it's now established. But however, if you say that it's a question of the owner can say, look, I just found out. What do you want? The Torah says you're supposed to be made in 3 days. Now, I just found out about this, and already you're jumping down my throat and saying the shor is a mu'ad. I need time to digest this. So, you know, when they come tomorrow and tell me again the day after, at that point you can be b'chai of me. Mine. So what would be the din? Tosis points out a remarkable thing here. Because the whole machlokas that we had about whether chatzi nezek is knas or chatzi nezek is malt, that was clearly behavioral. Right? Those were saying that, well, on the one hand, look, the truth is that this animal is becheska shimur, we said, and therefore you should be potter, but we're going to give you a knas because, you know, we want you to watch it. But now it's not becheska shimur, that's for sure. I mean, we now know that this shor is something that cannot be relied upon without the right people. So how in the world would this fit in, according to the Manyorma, it's Paganiski Kanasa, to say that the Shor is because Kashimur. It's simply not because Kashimur anymore. So it says Enothin Ami. As far as that is concerned, for sure, we would have to say that in this case, it's no longer included under the general getter of the Chatzinez Knas. But the Torah, nonetheless, would not have distinguished between a Chatzinezek where the guy found out but wasn't expected to respond, or the normal chatzinezek with the shor is b'chaz kashimur. So we would say that the Torah is not mechalik in the dinim of chatzinezek. So here it's knas, in other cases it's not a knas. What we're talking about is the norm. The norm is that it's a knas. There might be rare occasions where there hasn't been time yet to be mechay of the baalim when we've established that the shor is not b'chaz kashimur. Nafkamina would be, of course, if you're moda. So as we say, if it's still a dinim knas, we'd say still it's moda, but knas would still be pota. The fact that it happens in this case not to be a knas, this brings an interesting raya. Suppose a shor kills an eved that is worth precisely shloshim shekel, which is, of course, the knas value. We say it's a knas because you're paying more than what you damage, less than what you damage. In this case, you're paying exactly what you damage. So what are you going to say? That if you're then moda, you're chayav? Because it happens to be that it's the same as the nezek? The point is that, generally speaking, shloshim shelevet is a knas. It doesn't change just because, in this case, it happens to equal the nezek. Yeah. Obviously, there are arguments that one could make about the logic, but it's a very beautiful comparison. Okay. So let's see now whether we can bring a raya. Mark. Toshma in hashor la'aseh mu'ad ad she'ya'idu bo b'fnei ba'alim u'b'fnei beidin. So a shor is not considered to be a mu'ad unless there was a testimony here about the state of the shor where the ba'alim were present and there was a bezdin there to accept the testimony as kosher testimony. But in the event that you were made bo b'fnei beidin but shelo b'fnei ba'alim, suppose you drag the shor into court and you're made that it did this, but the Baalim isn't there. Or b'fnei Baalim, or b'fnei Beit Din. Or you tell the owner, but you don't say it in a way that was accepted as testimony. Einu na'aseh mu'ad. The shor does not become a mu'ad, unless ad she'idu bo b'fnei Beit Din, or b'fnei Baalim. Now, suppose you have two people that are made about the first goring. So yidu shnayim b'rishona, v'shnayim b'shniya, v'shnayim b'shlishit. So you have now three different groups of witnesses. Put them all together, and what do you come out with? A mu'ad. Okay. And then what happens is that one of these kitot break down. So the din is, harek kan shalosh idiot. You may have three completely separate testimonies. So for instance, suppose you've got, could have three brothers. If you put them all together, obviously it's puzzle. But you've got some non-related guy who's mitzaref with the three brothers. So if you want to put them all together, legabe the testimony to make it a mu'ad, so how can you have brothers testifying? If you want to talk about the separate kitot when it comes to the question of each one of the chiyuvim of chatzinezek, each one is separate. So therefore, we have to treat them in different ways, and therefore, even though we have separate kitot for chatzinezek, we've got kat achat when it comes to edus achat lahazama. So that means if we've got now an attack on one of these ketones. You couldn't possibly have seen that happen because you weren't even there. So now there's two issues that are going to change. First of all, obviously you don't have to pay the chatzi nezek, but there's also another issue. The shor is no longer a muad because we're taking apart one of these testimonies. So now it didn't gorn three times.
When it comes to the din of Edim Zomimim, the halacha is that if all of the Edim turned out to be Zomimim, so then we're b'kayim the din of Kasher Zomam, which means whatever it is that they intended to do to the victim, that's what we do right to them. But in a case where only some of them have found Zomimim, so then the cut becomes bottle, of course, and we can't carry out the din, and we don't accept the testimony, but we don't do the Kasher Zomam. So now in this case, we have three separate kitot of Edim. When it comes to the combined effect of turning the shor into a muad, we would need to be mazim all of them. When it comes, however, to the particular thing that each kad wanted to be mekayim, so then for that we have a separate zamah. So let's say the two witnesses, says the Gemara, the first two witnesses, therefore. So, either shnayim b'rishona, shnayim b'shniya, shnayim b'shlishit. So what we have, therefore, is nimtzet kad rishona zomemet. The first kad becomes zomemet, harikan shte idiot. So now what we have over here are two edim that are talking about the din of muad. And because of that, hu patur vein paturim. The zomimim are patur over here for paying the full nezek for the part that would be chayev for the full nezek, which of course we'll have to see what that is. According to Rashi, who learns that the third negicha is considered to be a proper negicha to be mechayev you, he says it's talking about over here the third negicha. So over there they would be paying nezek sholem. However, since in this case we haven't been mazim all of the three kitot were part of the chiyuv of nezek shalem, so we're only going to pay for the chatzi nezek. If the second kat turns out to be also inim zomimim, imtekat shniya zomemet, so you're still left with a dutechat that's mechayim, and again, hu patur on the nezek shalem part. Vein paturin. So he doesn't have to pay, and they don't have to pay. He doesn't have to pay because we no longer have a muad, they don't have to pay because they're not all zomimim. But if imtekat shnishit zomemet, kulan chayavim. If, however, the third kat is zomim, then they're all chayev together. Because together, they did indeed have a desire to see to it that the guy would be Mishal and Nezek Shalik. Though, what we say to them is, now look, basically by your coming along and saying that this was a shor muad, because that's what you were saying in conjunction with the other two kitot, you were really going to be Mishal this shor to pay Nezek Shalik. However, we are not going to charge you for Nezek Shalik, which is usually what the Edim Zomimim are going to pay, what they were Mechayev the guy to pay. So in this case, let's assume, for the simple explanation, the way Rashi understands it, the third time your Chayev already is a Muad, that's the way you've been Masver a bit of Rava. So it's talking about that you have now three Kitot of Edim who come in, they're made each one of them on a separate Negicha. Between the three of them, on the third Negicha, you're going to be paying Nezek Sholim. One of them is now found to be Edim Zomimim. The guy says, well, because of this guy, I was going to be chayev to pay Nezek Shalim on this Negicha. I want Nezek Shalim. I'm going to pay Chatzi Nezek for my lie. Okay, but Lamaisa, despite the fact that due to my lie, I was actually going to charge you Nezek Shalim for the third Negicha, on that, this is how Rashi learns. It's all based on the assumption that you pay for the third Negicha. Tosfos says, even if that were true, it doesn't make any sense. You'll never pay ex post facto. You'll only pay if you know there was a muad before it did the negicha. So this whole case doesn't make sense. Remember what the pasuk says: "V'lo yishmenu ba'alav after shor nagachu mitvol shilshon." Then the ba'alim doesn't respond. Then shalim. But certainly we're not going to say, and now that I found out that 2 months ago when it had done that negicha, it had already gored three times. Who cares? That's irrelevant because I didn't know about it to be machai of me as the ba'alim. So no matter what shot you're going to say, says Tosfos, what are we talking about? Even if you want to say not the way Rashi is learning, it's not referring to a third case of Negicha. Over there, indeed, there's no such thing as being Mechayim Nezek Shalom on the third case of Negicha. It's talking about that the Shor runs out and does now a fourth Negicha. Before we had a chance now to sit there and be Mechayim, we'd have the same problem. Says Tosfos, but there is a specific issue that is addressed by Bits being a Muad. And what is that? How much is it worth? If you're trying to sell a shor, and this shor is a muad, then obviously it's going to be worth less than selling a shor that's a tam. Because now the owner knows that the insurance costs of such a shor are significantly higher. He's going to become chayim nezek shalim. So that's a change in the value of the shor, which is a direct hezek. It's irrelevant now. The question of whether the shor damaged, I don't have to talk about a case like that. The question over here is, I definitely changed the value. That was a hezek that I had caused, and therefore, there's no way to avoid that. So this is the question, who is responsible for that? So that means, so according to Rashi, again, when it says the zomimim, or peturim, that's talking about, even though I was a groma, I wanted to cause the payment of an ezek shalim on the third time, the point is, we have a klal. You do not pay until all of the edim are zomimim. In this case, if only one kat was zomimim, I don't have to pay. All that happens is I'm mevatel the din, obviously, because I don't have all of my edim sharing. But the halacha is that ein hazomimim mishalmi momon ad shezumu kulam. So now I have sent three separate kitot. First kat drops out. There's no now three times. There's no nezek shalim. But there's also no chiyuv to pay for the extra katsi nezek that I was going to cause. According to Tosfos, there's no chiyuv to pay for the change in the shor that I would have caused by making it now into muad, which it turns out that it wasn't. Okay, because we weren't nizomu kulam. They all turn out to be. Now, the mi'achi azumu kulam, and we were mazim all of them, fine. So then they're all responsible for that additional payment. Okay, that's a little bit weird. I mean, why can't they say, well, I know that there was going to be other people coming around. That we'll talk about in a moment. But now the question is, what are the implications of this for the issue that we had raised? That is, are we looking to bring testimony to the change of behavior in the shor, or are we looking to bring separate testimony for what we expect to be a change of behavior in the violin? Ah, says the Gemara, now look, the only way to understand this, if you're telling me that the whole point over here is to establish we need 3 days to change the behavior of the shor, but as far as the person is concerned, he can find out all in one shot. The moment that he finds out, he becomes the owner of a shor ha'muad, and at this point, he's nezek shalom. It doesn't matter over what period of time he had to get the bad news. So he got the bad news all in one shot. Okay? So then the case makes sense, because we could be talking about, indeed, a case where the guy who is suing brings these three groups of witnesses, and he says, look, I want to be paid for what has happened now. And I want to be paid nezek shalim. This would be the way Rashi is on it. I want to be paid nezek shalim because we've got witnesses. They're all here, gentlemen, all here today, and you kind judges will please paskin according to what we now know to be true, that the shor is a vicious shor. But if you're going to tell me that you can only spread out that testimony over 3 days, it would be irrelevant for the guy to be saying this, because the judges would say, who cares? We're not interested when the shor did it. You needed to have this proven over the course of 3 days. If it was over the course of 3 days, then each one will say, am I supposed to know what's going to happen tomorrow? I had no idea that this was going to happen. Somebody else was going to come along and say also false testimony, and therefore I got friends, and we're going to be chayav nezek shalim. I thought I was only causing chatzi nezek. So how are you turning around to being mechayev me, nezek shalim now, about something which I have no relationship to at all? So, I'm a therefore liyudei tura. Shapir makes sense. But if you're going to tell me that in order for an owner to become chayav on a muad, you need 3 separate days of testimony. So it doesn't help now to have a 1 day to tell me about 3 different negichas. So the first kat should say, what do we, prophets? We're supposed to know that 3 days later there's going to be yet another kat that's going to say that this is a muad, is going to now be added to our testimony. I mean, all we did is haksharat hakarka. That's all we did. We made it possible for such a thing to happen. We certainly can't say that our intent, vasitim al-kasher zaman, there was no intent to be mechayev a guy, the full nezek, nor was there intent to turn this shor into a shor ha'muad, because we didn't know there would be a shor ha'muad. That's a pretty good proof. I went and told Rav Kahana this proof. Ramali, and he said to me, no, this doesn't make any sense, because liyunei tura minecha. And if the issue is to show the behavior of the shor, so now you're happy, you can have the same situation. Why can't the people, Leima Hanak Batroi, the last group, walks into court, and they say, what are we saying? We don't know what's going on in this courtroom, gentlemen. We walked in over here to be Mechayev a guy Chatzi Nezek. We're supposed to know that you guys have already had testimony. Anami and Minaya Dinan. What, to call the Koye Beidina Lassidi Betura Kot, or what? We're supposed to know when we walk into this court, we see people sitting outside, that clearly they must have been testifying about this guy Shor. You think there's nothing that goes on in a courtroom but this guy Shor? There's a $1 billion gas exploration issue here in front of the court. What do we know about a Shor? All we came in is we Mechayev the guy Chatzi Nezek, and all of a sudden we're supposed to be now the omniscient third paravated. So anyway, what are you going to have to say? Another human gavra pagan is gatin, and all we were doing was coming to be Machayev this guy Chatzi Nezik, but that's all we were doing. Well, that's not a problem. This is our Gersa. Because the Ramzi were losing. It's talking about over here that they are all making motions to each other. Okay, you guys go first, and I win. In other words, so they, in that case, they all know about the other one. It's clear that they're all in this together, and therefore, that doesn't stand up when they claim we had no idea, never saw these guys in our lives, and so on. We say, well, you know, our video cameras pick up, you're talking to these guys all the time, so. Now, Tosis has a Girsa that has the word Ella. Ella de Kamaramze Ramuze, meaning that you therefore can no longer prove what you came to prove. Because now, if that's the case, we're relying on a known connection between the witnesses. So then maybe even it could be talked about over the course of 3 days. Why wouldn't that also be just as good an indication that these guys know each other and therefore you can't prove anything? Okay. Ravashi Omer. Ravashi says, well, you could be talking about Shabol Ritzufim. It would work out, says Ravashi, if you're coming to be Miyayed the Shor, at least, because if they all walk in together, so then at least you could say that it seems pretty clear that there's an attempt over here to turn the Shor into Mu'ah. Ravina Amar, Ravina says it's much more simple than that. It could be Mimakirin Baal HaShor Ve'en Mekirin Et HaShor. Why can't it be talking about that they're unable to identify the particular Shor? All they're trying to do is basically not being Machayev the guy, because you can't be Machayev a Shor if you can't identify it. Remember, what's unique about Shor Tam is that the Chiyev is on the Shor and not on the Baalim. So you can tell a Baalim, look, one of your animals went out and gored. So therefore, you have to pay. The Baalim will say, well, I'm never responsible to pay. It's always the Shor that's responsible to pay. You have to collect from the goof of the Shor. That's the Yechetzun. Split the body. Okay, can you show me? And I'll be happy to have my Shor talk to your lawyers about this. No, I'll have my people talk to your people. I'll have my Shor talk to your Shor. But you certainly can't come and be Machayev me. So then if the witnesses are coming in, we say to them, well, you're saying you weren't coming to be Machayev the guy of the Muad. You were only coming to be Machayev of Chatzi Nezek? Well, were you Machayev of Chatzi Nezek? Well, no, we couldn't identify the Shor. I see. So what was the point of your testimony if you couldn't be Machayev of Chatzi Nezek? The only thing that they could have done, this is the way the Gemara is going to work it out in the end, the only thing that they could have done is to say to him, look, there is a Shor in your herd over here that's going around attacking people. And therefore, you're going to have to watch your entire herd. Now, obviously, that's still not going to be enough to be Machayev him, because how do I know this is the same Shor? So what we have to say is that after he was notified that he's got to watch his whole herd because there's a dangerous animal in there, they then hey, that's it, that's the one. Okay, so now they recognize him. He may have had thousands of animals, they can pick him out. Now all of a sudden they see him. So that's the one that we had all identified. So it's possible, ultimately, to turn the guy into a mu'ed. So we're saying that's the only point of your testimony. And therefore, in that case, says Ravina, we can see that obviously the testimony is there to turn him into a mu'ed. Because they're only makir in a bala shor. They're not makir in a shor. And instead, so then if that's the case, how can they make the guy into an owner of a mu'ed? Well, the amritura nakana yitachabi b'karcha. What they say to him is, look, you've got a dangerous animal there in your herd. You have to watch your entire herd. But again, as Tosis points out, in the end, to be behind him, they're going to have to say, yes, indeed, it was the same shor that had done that other damage that now caused this damage, therefore you have to pay nezek shal. Suppose you sick A's dog against B. So C does this. Okay, who is Chayev? The Mishnah says Vadai Potter. Clearly, the guy who did the sicking, C, he's definitely Potter, because all he did was goring the damage of the dog. He's not going to become Chayev for that, midini Adam. The question is, Baal HaKelev Mai, the owner of the dog, we'll see in a moment why we bring this up over here. Mi Aminah Matsiyomalei, do we say, he could say, look, Anam Avitalei, well, I didn't do anything. I mean, my dog's a perfectly docile dog. The fact that you've got this madman going around and getting him upset, or perhaps we could say to him, look, given the adat of a kapaka, the mishasile or mishtasile, since you know that your dog is capable of being sick against the third party, so then you shouldn't have allowed him out in a way that somebody could do that. On the Rebbe Zero, look at our mishnah, toshma. Itam, shia tinokot mumash bashimbo ve'inonogea. It says in the Mishnah that a shor becomes a tam if kids are pulling on its nose and tweaking its ears, and then it's not nogeach, so then it turns into a tam. Okay, but suppose it was nogeach. How about that? The mashma'ut is in the Mishnah. Of course, if it was nogeach, it would be a mu'ed. Okay, so that's mashma, that apparently the case over there would be, despite the fact that that's the equivalent of sicking the dog, so then, fine, but if he would be nogeach, even though he's been tweaked into doing so, mashma that he's chayav. And we don't say that in that case the Baal HaKelev, or in this case the Baal HaShor, could say, wasn't my fault that these guys went ahead and did that to him. Omer Abaye doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. All it's saying in the Mishnah is that if it doesn't respond to this stimulus, it's putter. It certainly doesn't say Nikatani Nagach Hayav. It doesn't say that if it did attack the children that it would be Chayav. Dilma Hanagach Lo Havitam. All the Mishnah is saying is that if there's no clear change in behavior, so then it doesn't go back to being a Tam. But certainly, Ba'ina Gicha Lo Mechayav. You're not going to be Mechayav for that particular act because maybe it's not my fault. Tashma. Okay, I'm trying to bring it right from here. Same case we had earlier. Shisabo Atakelev. Or Shisabo Nachash. Patur. Now it says it's Patur. My love, who is Patur? The Mishnah says Patur, because that's all it talks about. Why didn't it talk about that everybody is Patur? Apparently it's only the Mishnah says Patur. The Chayav Baal HaKelev. So you're going to know, maybe what it should say is Ema Patur Afa Mishnah says. Because maybe over there it's a given that the owner of the dog in the Nachash is not responsible for somebody else's. She's sweet. Oh my Rabbah. Says, Rabbah, I'll tell you one thing. Even if you want to turn out and say, and you haven't proven this yet, but im tim tzilomar, even if you end up telling me that if you now A, six B's dog against C, that in that case the din would be that B is potter, it's chayav, but shisahu ba'atzmo potur. If A is getting the dog angry now against him, and the dog attacks him, he can't go now and sue B and say your dog attacked me, because B can say, what exactly did you expect pulling the ears of my dog? And that's because of the general rule that we had, that when somebody does an activity that is inappropriate and is not what is expected by the owner of the kelev or whatever the case may be, so then even though the response is indeed vicious and disproportionate, nonetheless, disproportionate responses are perfectly acceptable if somebody starts up with you. And therefore, you should be potter. Says Rav Papa to Rava, well, actually, we have a raya to that from Reish Lakish. Yidmar Mishmeh Reish Lakish Kavatecha. The Omer Reish Lakish to Reish Lakish says, if we just had this case, Shtei Parot Rishut Rabim, you have two animals walking down the street, and one of them decides to go to sleep and lies down in the middle of the street. The other one who's behind says, that's intolerable behavior, and kicks it right in the nose. I mean, you think you're going to get away with sleeping. So over there, if Ba'atam Alekha Berevutza, the animal is potter. But if the Ravutza hits the Baalechet, then the Ravutza would be Chayav. So that shows that a disproportionate response is indeed perfectly appropriate. Says Rava, well, it's a nice raya, but actually I disagree with that approach. Because I didn't say that any disproportionate response becomes appropriate. Because am I doing anything to you by going to sleep in Rosh Hashanah? I mean, how are you comparing the two cases? If a guy pulls the dogs of an ear, the ears of a dog, so that it's perfectly appropriate for that dog to get angry and to rip him to shreds. But just because a shor goes to sleep, does not mean that the other shor has a right to get angry at him. I mean, if the other shor would walk all over him and crush his skull, fine, okay, that's appropriate. You have a right to continue walking and not to take into consideration the fact that I decided to go to sleep in the middle of the street. But who gave you a right to kick me? I mean, that's just mean. So therefore, I wouldn't have agreed with Reish Lakish. Actually, in that case, I would have said that the shor that is bo'et, even the ma'alechet, would be chayev. Because there we would tell that shor, when the shor comes into court and says, it was outrageous behavior and I did what any self-respecting shor would do in seeing some other shor go to sleep in the middle of the street, we tell him, now, wait a minute, I mean, keep a reshuto, disagree, Eli. The other shor says, you had the rights to step all over me, indeed, but to kick me? The behutebi? You have no right to kick me. Let the Kharashuta, and therefore I would disagree with Reish Lakish. Actually, what Reish Lakish is doing is taking my point of Kol HaMishana Baka Mishinabo to an extreme that even I wouldn't have agreed to. Ezeu tam ezeu muad koshidu bo shlosha yamim v'tam mishiachzor bo shlosha yamim. Divir Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Meir omer muad shidu bo shlosha pe'amim v'tam koshiva tirokot b'mash b'shin bo v'inu nogeah. My time at the Rebbe Yehuda, Omer Abaye Tmol Chad, Mitmol Trei, Shoshon Tlata, V'lo Yishmen Abala, V'tan L'Negicha Revit. Rav Omer, Tmol, Mitmol is only Chad, Shoshon is Trei, V'lo Yishmen Ha'idna, then Chayav, Rebbe Meir, my time. The Tanya of Rebbe Meir, Tzakav HaChomer, if Rikrei K'Negichotav Chayav, Kirev Negichotav Loko Sheken. Omer Lehi, Zavatochia, Shrikari Yotea Tmeha,
Kirvari Yotel Torah. Amalem, what does that have to do with it? Are Omer Bizot Yetu Mator Bizovo, Tala Katuvata Zavariot Zavabi Amim. Me mind the high visot Lamute Zavamiriot, Emilamute Zavmi Amim. Omar Krava Zavet Zovola Zakarvala Nekiva, Maki Zakar Nekiva, Manikiva Biamim of Zakar Biamim. Why not be Makish Nekiva Lazakar and say Mazakar Briot after Keva Briot? Well, I'm here to Rahman of his own, Mara Ita, because Mistabra. Koi Briot, Mamait Riot, Koi Briot, Mamait Yamim. Tonerabon, and Ezeu Muad Koshiru Boshlosha Yamim, the Tam, Shiatinokot, Mamash Bishin Bovino Nagar de Rebios, Rebishimanomer. Muad koshi dovar shalosh pe'amim, v'lo amru shalosh pe'amim ela v'chazara bilvad. Omrim nachman amr rabar ba'ama, halach Rabbi Yehuda b'muad shal Rabbi Yossi modelo. Halach Rabbi Meir b'tam shal Rabbi Yossi modelo. Omr le'rov v'lo nachman v'lema ma'ar halach Rabbi Meir b'muad shal Rabbi Shimon modelo. V'halach Rabbi Yehuda b'tam shal Rabbi Shimon modelo. Omr le'rov, well, it's because I'm like Rabbi Yossi sphere, like Rabbi Yossi n'mukoyimo. Ibarlo. Shalosha yamim diktani. Is that the Yudei Tura or the Yudei Gabra? Lamanav kemina. The other tlata kite sahadi bechad yuma. See, yamid the Yudei Tura miyayid. Yamid the Yudei Gabra lo miyayid. Meimar amar. Hashto hu dekome sahadubi. Ma. Tashma. Ena shor nase muad. Ad she ha'idu bo bifnei ba'alim. U bifnei beidin. Ha'idu bo bifnei beidin. Vishalo bifnei ba'alim. Bifnei ba'alim. Vishalo bifnei beidin. Ena nase muad. Ad she ha'idu bo bifnei beidin. U bifnei ba'alim. Hidu shnayim berishona, shnayim bishnia, shnayim bashelishit. Harekan shalosh idiot, veinedut echad lahazama. Nimtzet kat rishona zomemet, harekan shtei idiot, vuhu patur vein paturin. Nimtzet kat shnia zomemet, harekan edut echad, vuhu patur vein paturin. But then, when nimtzet kat shlishit zomemet, then kulam chayavim, val zeder ma vazitim lo kasher zama. So now, yamitu yudei tura shap. Ela yaver do yudei gavra? Lemo, anach kamoya, nam miyavi adina, na bata shloshi yume, yata ani miyadi lai. Omer Ravashi, Amitlo Shmaiti, Kamele Rav Kana, and he said, it doesn't work out this way either. Lidei Tura Minecha. Why can't Lema Anach Batroi? Ana Minaya Dina Dakota Koi Beidina Lassuda Beturakat. Analach Yuva Gabra Palganiska Tina. That's because Kamaramze Ramuzi. Ravashi Amar Kishabo Ritzufim. Ravino Amar, the Makirim Balashor, the Makirin Tashor. So how are they going to be Miyayadim? The Amrik, Tura Nakhana Hitachabib Korcha. But if you're Meshasa, the other guy's Kelev Batsmo, certainly Patur, my timer. Because Kola Meshaneo Bachar Vishinabo Patur, Omele Popola Rova, you know, Itma Mishmei the Rish Lakish, exactly like you were saying. The Omele Rish Lakish, Stei Parot, Peshut Rabbi, Machat Ruvutsa, Vachat Ba'alecha, Uba'ata Ba'alecha B'Ruvutsa Ptura, Ruvutsa B'Ma'alecha T'chayevet. Omele, well actually, Ana Ba'i Chiyubi Mechayavna. The Amrina Lein, Mekit Vachar Rishuta, Seguya Alay. The Ba'ute Bi, Let Vachar Rishuta.